The month of March has 31 days. I am going to ask you all, because Jesus said that he wouldn't lay any other burden on the church. So I'm not going to lay this as a burden. I'm just going to ask. There are 31 days in March. There are 31 chapters in Proverbs. I know that there are people in the congregation who like to read and like to know that other people are reading simultaneously, if not at exactly the same moment, at least during that day, reading and reflecting on the Word of God. I'm going to ask, if you remember it, whatever day it is, read that chapter of Proverbs for that day. Do not rush Proverbs. It's one of them, you've got to read it and think about what's being said and put it in context, and it's just little short sayings that are wise. And folks, we need wisdom in this day and age that we're living in. God bless us with wisdom. Can't think of another thing, so I guess I'll just start right in. I was, it's a God thing going on for the last day or two. And it's this, I have been hearing the same song over and over and over again. And I even changed channels and it was on again and it was somebody else singing it. I'm like, okay God, I'll just get up and do it. Folks, tomorrow's headlines are going to read something like this. The states are going to raid the pension plans. There are new viruses that are much worse than H1N1. And do not count out the H1N1 virus. There is a heat wave spreading across the world. Or there is an ice age spreading across the world. TV evangelists are also pointing out things that are very, very bad and terrible that are going to happen. I have more faith in the TV evangelists than I do in the news commentators. Because at least the TV evangelists, a lot of them are reading out of what the Bible says. They talk about the end times and they say things like the 10-nation conglomerate of the European Union is rising and they're wanting to restore the 10 nations by dividing the world into 10 different huge land masses. Israel is surrounded by Islamic extremists that are threatening to obliterate it, drive them into the sea and make that country no more. Yes, the Bible does say that the river of Euphrates will dry up in the last day. And folks, it's drying up. There is now the possibility of 2 million men from China. They actually have enough to field an army that big and let it march toward Jerusalem. Jews are returning to the land. Not as many as there was, but at this time there's more Jews in Israel than there are in the United States, which is an unusual thing that's happening. There are earthquakes in diverse places and they're not good. And then on top of all that, wouldn't you know, we live at the New Madrid fault line. You know, joy and comfort, you know, and all of that to us. But this is what I really want to say. It doesn't matter. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. And it says in the Bible that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Let me just read to you some scriptures. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 27. And this expression yet once more denotes the removing of all things which can be shaken as of created things in order that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 through 15. Each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it because it is revealed with fire, and the fire itself will be tested, the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. What I'm getting at is this. We are in this world, and God has promised there is going to come a shaking where he even says the powers of heaven themselves shall be shaken. Anything that can be shaken will be shaken, and that which remains will be eternal. This world we're living in is starting to get the shakes. But we are in this world and we are observing the shakes, but we are not of this world. If you have the faith in Jesus Christ, you're going to be all right. You're going to be okay. Why? Because it says that the things that are not eternal will be destroyed and will be done away with. They will be shaken. Then what rubble is caused by that earthquake, that spiritual earthquake also that will happen, will be burnt up and everything left will be rewarded. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, folks, now is the time to stand firm and let your roots sink deep into the Word of God, so when God gets done with the whole shaking and baking thing that's going to go on, we will still be standing there going, we are here because God is there. He is our God. We have nothing to fear. While it's going on, stand firm and do not hesitate to say, our God is an awesome God. Our God reigns. Our God is a powerful God and He keeps us. We don't have to be stressed out over what's going on in this world, because while it's interesting and while we can see it and we may be even here to experience parts of it, it will not completely obliterate us because we have faith in God. You say, well, what about my faith? Yes, your faith can be shook or tried to be shaken, but listen to what the Scripture says. We are saved how? By grace through faith, and that is not of yourself. That is a gift of God. Faith is a gift of God, and it's listed in the gift list. You go in Romans, you go in Corinthians, and there is the gift of faith is given to Christians. You can have the gift of faith. The only way you have faith is because God gives you a gift called faith. You put that with this other verse that says, the gifts and the callings are irrevocable. Once God gives you something, it's yours. If He gives you a gift, it's your gift. If He gives a calling on your life and says, I want you to do this, you will do it. You might do it kicking and screaming. That would be Jonah. You might do it sheepishly. That would be Samson. Or you might do it boldly. That would be Paul. But if there's a call on your life, you will do it. Because our God is sovereign enough to work our free will to say, I think I'm going to do it this time, God. I'm with you. But the gift of faith is a gift that is not revocable. If you've got it from God, you have got it. And when the shaking starts and things are being destroyed around you, even if the buildings are falling, even if some of your works are crumbling, you keep standing on your faith, because when it's all over with and the world lays in smoking ruins, you're going to be standing there shining like a star. Because our faith is going to be tried in fire, but it's not something we need to worry about. We will overcome because He has promised us the victory. It's not something we should stress about, but it's something that we should know about. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. I'm reading it out of New American Standard. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who according to His great mercy... Mercy is the flip side of grace. One is unearned favor, one is unearned kindness. Mercy is unearned kindness. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again with a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a living hope, not a dead hope, and there are places in the New Testament which I didn't take the time to look up, and I should have. I apologize for that, but y'all have those Strong's. You can look it up for yourself, where it says, I am a prisoner of faith. I am a prisoner of hope. We have a hope, and our hope is a sure thing. It's not a wish hope. A wish is something we desire that's held up by doubt. Faith, a miracle, is a desire that's held up by faith, and God will intervene. I'll say that again. This is an original Doyle thing. Write it down someplace. I'm sure it will appear on wall plaques. A wish is something that's held up before God by doubt. A miracle is held up before God by faith, and if you are saved, you have faith. It's not the amount. You've got it. And you have enough to withstand the trials that will be coming your way every day. Don't sweat it. You will make it through. It will be all right. And he says, we have this by God's mercy. He just showed us a kindness. We have this living hope because Jesus Christ didn't stay dead, but he resurrected. And he says that where I am, you may come and be there also. He did that to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. He has given us an inheritance. Most of us view an inheritance as something that's off there in the future. But an inheritance, when you look it up in Scripture, when you look it up in the Greek word, an inheritance is a sure possession. You get your inheritance when the person who owns that property dies and leaves it to you. Jesus Christ died and he left it to you. Granted, he rose up from the dead, but he didn't give it back because the gifts and the callings are irrevocable. You have assurance that there are things that are yours. And those things are what? Imperishable, they are undefiled, and they will not fade away. They cannot be destroyed by the fire. Even when God comes down and tests this world, what he has given you will be there and stand. You have faith. You will be making it if your faith is the gift of God and not a wish. It's undefiled, and that means that it has never been ravaged, never has had an army march across it. This brings back the remembrance of the children of Israel in the land of Cana. They were given a sure possession and still claim it today. The Israelite people are still saying this property is given to us by God 3,000 years ago. The difference is theirs has been defiled because over the years, I saw one guy said there has been 27 wars fought over the city of Jerusalem in the last 2,000 years. It has had wars and wars and wars, but the inheritance that was given to us is a better inheritance. It is imperishable, it is undefiled, and it will not fade. It is put there in heaven, but it is already ours. And he's talking to us, and get this next. It's the inheritance reserved for you, reserved in heaven for you. Who are the you? Us. That's you. You are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You are protected by the power of God through faith. You are saved by grace through faith, and this is just the biggest promise. We are protected by God through faith. We've got to trust in him because we can, and it's given there. Don't forget, faith is a choice. Faith is a choice. I trust in him. It doesn't mean that we won't have problems coming our way. We will. But what does it say? Oh, I'll find it again. You are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That idea of protection there means you have a garrison. God is garrisoned by you to protect you. It's like having Fort Lost in the Woods or whatever fort you want as your neighbor, and you know, like in the Wild Wild West, you know that that fort is there and it is protecting you. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have some problem coming your way, but you send Lassie over and say, Lassie, go tell the people at the fort, we need help. And then the guys at the fort will come rushing out to our rescue and they will save us. And that's the idea of what God is talking about. He is garrisoned there, ready to protect us through faith. We have faith. I know I'm going to keep saying that again and again and again and again. We have faith and we are protected when we ask God to come out of that fort and rush to our aid. But if we don't ask Him, He won't bother, because it's like us saying, "That's okay, God. I can take care of this on my own. I won't bother You." And He will say, "That's fine." Now I want to read to you Matthew 9, chapter 27. This has bothered me for a long time, and I might as well just point it out, read it to you, because if it means what it says. And Jesus passed on from there. Two blind men followed Him, crying out, saying, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." And after He came into the house, the blind men came up to Him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said unto Him, "Yes, Lord." He touched their eyes, saying, "Be it done to you according to your faith." Be it done to you according to your faith. He actually put it out there. Do you believe it? Do you believe I can do it? Yes, Lord, we do. Fine, if you really believe it, be it done to you according to your faith. There are a lot of promises in this Word of God, and if you claim it to be true, it is true. Do you believe it? If so, let it be done to you according to your faith. I have talked to fine Christian people who believe that... Well, some of them say, "No, I don't believe that you get to heaven by trusting Jesus Christ. You have got to be good enough to get there." So you can ask them, "Are you good enough?" "No, but I'm trying. I'm giving it my best shot." One old sinner over at Noble, the preacher said, "Are you ready to go to heaven?" He says, "I'm working on it just as hard as I can." That's not the proper response. Fine. As you believe, let it be unto you. As your faith is, let it be unto you. You think that you've got to work your way to heaven? Let it be so. Work your way to heaven and see if you make it. I know I can't. I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm saved because Jesus Christ took my place. I trust Him for that. Let that be unto me according to my faith. I have other friends who come along and say, "No, I don't believe that God works miracles in today's situation." And I look at them and said, "Don't worry about it. You'll never have one. I don't believe God will lead me." Don't worry. He won't. "I don't believe God talks to people like me." Don't worry. He won't. According to your faith, let it be unto you. Do you believe that this is the Word of God? Do you make a choice based on this fact of what God has told you? Or do you base it on something else, like the preacher told me this, or I just can't see that that's the way it would work? Let it be according to your faith. If you believe what the Bible says, then He is going to lead you, guide you, and direct you. He is never going to forsake you. Anytime that you're confronted by a problem in this world, you turn to the fort and you say, "Hey, God, I need your help now." And the fort will open its doors and God will come to your protection. It doesn't mean you're not going to get roughed up for a few minutes, seconds, weeks, days, or months, but that God who said, "I am there to protect you," if you have the faith, He will be there to protect you. And I'm not talking vast quantities. I'm just, all you have to have is just enough to say, "Help me." And the man came to Jesus, and Jesus said, "Do you believe?" And he said, "Yes, I believe. Help my unbelief." The man said, "Yes, I believe. Help my unbelief." He's saying, "I don't have much, and what I have is about as strong as Jell-O, but help me because I know you can, and that's as good as it's going to get. Help my unbelief." And Jesus performed the miracle for that man. You have got the faith. If you believe that you are saved by grace through faith, you have got the faith enough for God to hear you in every situation, but you have to make those choices and then stand by them, dig your heels in and say, this is the way it is. I will walk with God and He will lead me because He says so. I will trust in God. He will direct me. I will listen for the voice of God because He said, my sheep shall hear my voice. I will do what the Bible leads me to say and do as I understand it. And God, teach me your ways so that I can rightly divide the truth. And if I am making a mistake, make me teachable. Give me wisdom so I can change my ways. People say old dogs can't learn new tricks. That is another lie. You can change. I've had people who just chain smokers light one right after the other and buy them and standing there going, I need a pack of marble, red stoil. And I'm going, that just drives me crazy, folks. When those people come up there carrying their little oxygen tanks going, I want some cigarettes. You know what kinds? Don't die in my store. Please make it out to the public sidewalk. And I can't hardly breathe when they're doing that. And they'll look at me and they'll go, I can't quit. I've done it too long. They're not going to kill me. 2 weeks later, the doctor says, hey, buddy, you got cancer. You're going to die. Hey, Doyle, I quit. That old dog learned a new trick. It might be too close to the end of his rope, but he learned that he could actually throw those cigarettes away. There is things that we still can learn if we say, yes, God, I believe, and I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep trying. We are responsible for one thing, and that is, what is our focus? If your life is miserable, what are you focusing on? Is there anybody here that doesn't have a roof over their head, that doesn't have some clothes for their nakedness, that doesn't have some food in their refrigerator, that doesn't have a vehicle to drive around, that doesn't have some change they can put in their pocket and jingle jangle around? Is there anybody that destitute in this congregation? Then what are you griping about? You've got it pretty darn good. Because I know people who are living with holes in their roofs this big and the water's pouring through it and they heat all winter long by wrapping themselves in an electric blanket so they won't be cold, and they're standing down at the grocery store, not mine, but another grocery store, and they're saying, God is God and He hears and He answers and He keeps. Granted, the man is not reaping the rewards, but he is not blaming God. His focus is on the positiveness of his life. You're responsible for what you focus on. If you got a miserable life, is it because you choose to be miserable? Is it because you choose to focus on miserable things? Or do you choose to focus on things like God, Jesus Christ, love, purity, joy, peace? If you choose to focus on those, it will be that way because God says, I will keep him in peace whose mind is focused upon me. Granted, it might take you some bullheadedness and just keep coming back on, I'm thinking the wrong thing. I'm dwelling on the wrong stuff. I will not let this overcome me. I'm going to focus on the Word of God. And He said He would deliver me. I will trust the fact that He will deliver me. He said He will lead me. He will guide me. Go right down the list. Find the things that are promised to you in the Bible and say that's the way it is. And keep coming back to those positive things. I know one person that says, oh, I've been to this church and it's a miserable church. I've been over there to that church and you wouldn't believe what goes on. That church, this church, the other church, And I finally have not been permitted to lip off like I really want to and go, you're taking the problem with you. Everywhere you go, it's the same problem. You're packing up your baggage and taking your problem to a new congregation and laying it out there and looking for somebody like, knock that chip off my shoulder. And when they do, you get all snitty, pack up and take your problem to another church, and you don't see that the problem is with you. God bless their hearts. You know? But God can deliver them. If you run into that situation yourself, don't worry about it. Say, God, here's a problem in my life. Would you deal with it? He can soften their heart. He can change them. He can work miracles in their lives. He can cause them to be refocused. Trust in God. If it's a problem or a burden, roll it off on God. He will hear, He will answer. And folks, I've got a statement of faith to make about this church. We're not waiting for a revival. We are in a revival. We are in a revival. This church is coming alive, and it will be more alive next week and more lively the week after that. Why? Because we have prayed and we have asked our God to cause us to be a living, growing, breathing church with the presence of Jesus Christ here. And He said, I will hear and answer your prayers. Folks, we are in a revival. We are going to see, we have seen, and we will continue to see the presence of God manifested in this church in all of its different ways. And however He chooses to do it, that's fine with me. But it is happening, and it will continue to happen. God bless each and every one of you. He has, He will continue. And as you watch the news and everything is shaking, stand there firmly, knowing that you're deeply rooted in the Word of God, saying, as my faith, let it be. Jesus is protecting me. He is here with me. I have nothing now to fear. And I don't depend upon the pension. I depend upon my God to be my provision. And He can bring that to me from anywhere He wants to do it. But He will provide. He will provide. When you have that faith and you state that faith and you make that decision to stand on that faith, and something will come by and try to shake you, don't flinch. Don't flinch. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that You bless us. I ask that You continue to show us Your way. I ask that You continue to have Your mercy. I ask that we would see Your hand, Father. I realize it's just a luxury. But Father, I ask that we would just see Your hand and Your presence. Father, in the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus, we praise you and thank you for all the promises, and especially that one that says there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Father, we know that you're not condemning us, but help us be teachable. Father, we ask that you scatter the darkness, cause us to be a light in this world, and draw other people to Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen.